and welcome to NextPod, VP NextGen's podcast made for veterinary students and young professionals who want to know what's next. I'm your host, Sarah Said, and for this episode, we're discussing leadership and positive team culture in veterinary medicine with the medical director at Bond Vet Clinic in Chelsea, New York, Dr. Simone McLaughlin. Welcome, Dr. McLaughlin. Sorry.
That's okay. Thank you so much, Sarah. Thank you for having me on. I'm very excited to talk about leadership today.
Awesome. Well, thank you for being here. And we just want to start off by asking you about yourself. So how did you kind of get into vet med and where you are today, as well as like what university did you attend?
Yeah, so I think I'm a typical veterinarian in that I wanted to be a vet since I was 7 years old and somehow stuck with that my whole life and found a way to make it happen. I was born and raised in New York City in Chelsea, New York, in fact, where I work, which is very nice to be back. and I went to undergrad at UMass Amherst and went to the Royal Veterinary College in England. So I was able to, it's a 5-year program over there. So I spent 5 years overseas and loved every minute over at RVC. As most new grads started off at a couple clinics, working the graveyard shifts and just really getting into the nitty gritty of vet medicine. And when I graduated in 2012, again, sort of found myself in New York working at places that I was just trying to find my footing and sort of figure out the medicine and my role as a vet, and took me a while to sort of realize how valuable our role is and how much we are leaders in this industry. So it's taken me 9 years to really work on this leadership role, which is what I have been lucky enough to do over at Bond for the last couple months.
Nice. So what exactly do you do in that leadership role right now?
That's a good question. something that I think we are, still sorting out on what the medical director position really means. I am a support for the doctors that I work with. I am a support for my team. I help through, I help with my role to day-to-day stuff like scheduling and appointment flow. But I also help the doctors, figure out what they want to do for their future. And do they want more surgery? Do they want more medicine? How can I push them to, excel in their role as vets? What do they want to be? What is their 5-year plan? And, really try to help them guide them into what their veterinarian role means to them. That also, some of this also takes on client communication and communicating with clients that might have had an experience that they just needed a medical perspective on. So, it's quite a complex role and that there's a lot of different aspects to it that I also am sort of still learning as I go along.
Oh, nice. Well, like a lot of veterinary students, they hope to own a practice one day or be like a partner or a manager. And with that, obviously there's a lot of responsibility, like leading, organizing staff and stuff like that. And it can be very intimidating. So as a doctor who has experience working with people, managing people, can you tell us what you think is kind of the most important thing for young professionals to know about positive team culture, but I guess specifically in this case, leadership?
Positive team culture, there's a lot of components involved in positive team culture. I hope that the veterinary industry, I feel that they're noticing, figuring out that that is a huge component to having a successful veterinarian hospital is that positive team culture. It actually speaks directly to Bond's core values, which are working happy, teamwork, communication, empowerment, and obsessed with pets. Those happen to be their core values. But again, I think that really speaks to what a positive team culture is. When you have an environment where people are happy, they want to come to work, that makes them healthier. We have a lower risk of burnout, and we our team members stay longer with us. It also reflects on the interaction we have with our clients. If we're happy, we can our clients see that and they have a better client experience. And if we come to work every day loving what we do, then this also speaks to the patients having a good experience, and that we've practiced the best medicine we possibly could because we are mentally able to take on all of that.
Yeah. And so how, like, what is the role of a veterinarian when it comes to maintaining positive team culture in a practice, especially with other people?
Yeah, it's absolutely essential. You know, we are the leaders of the hospital, and the team looks to us so much to maintain that culture. You know, if we come in with a bad mood, you know, we set the mood of the hospital, whether that's a positive or a negative, and hopefully it's mostly positive. So again, I think, the role of the veterinarian with team culture is essential. We have to really always showcase that because our team members look to us so much.
Is there any way that you could think maybe of an example that you've had in your own life of where you had to, where you've used positive team culture, I guess, to make a situation better at work?
That's a good question. Let's see. So I feel like there's a lot of different examples. I think, you know, when you have those days where the vet students might not experience them yet, but unfortunately probably will experience them in their career, where it's just a bad day, you know, something just didn't go quite right. And it was just a challenging case or a challenging client or just something that wasn't all puppies and kitties every day. You know, I think it's really important to regroup with everybody at the end of the day when a day like that happens, to, you know, either shout out the team members that really did a fantastic job despite the circumstances, you know, really giving the empowerment to the team members that you can to try and encourage them that even though it was a really hard day, they did everything right and they did everything fantastic. And, you know, giving them that encouragement, that happens, you know, a lot. We like to do huddles in the evening to sort of a reflection of the day, in good or bad. So it's something that's been really helpful at our clinic to, you know, continue with that culture.
Yeah. And so I guess it all kind of circles back to leadership. Like you were saying, like to maintain a positive team culture, it sounds like you have to have people in leadership positions who are willing to, you know, be there for everybody and provide support. And I just wanted to ask you, like, what do you think are the qualities, I guess, that make up a good leader especially for younger people who are wanting to be that?
Yeah, for sure. I think one thing I've learned that maybe I wasn't taught so much about being a good leader is patience. It's something that you have to practice every day as a leader. You know, patience among your clients, patience among your team members, patience, you know, among yourself. That to me is very vital in being a good leader. I think maintaining a positive attitude is also something, you know, that can be challenging to maintain sometimes in this veterinary world, but taking the time to try and, you know, compose that positivity is, again, extremely helpful. I think direct, clear communication with your team, knowing so they know what's expected of them, having that nice and clear for them. And then another one I think is honestly experience. I don't think you're born a great leader. I think that's something that definitely takes time. When you've been through it all, you learn how to handle different types of situations. You know, both bad and good, you learn from other people. Sometimes you learn from their mistakes and other times you learn from your own mistakes, which again, I think just makes you a really strong leader.
And so if somebody is in vet school, or they just started working as a vet and they don't have much experience yet. Mm. What are some, I guess, tips you have maybe to develop these kind of skills? Like, is there any way that there's some kind of guide or structure, something they can follow, like best practices? Is there anything like that?
Yeah, no, that's good. I think for sure. I think you can start at any point. You know, I think, like I said, gaining experience is super helpful for this, but that can be done, you know, prior to graduating from school. So, you know, I think the best leaders, as I said before, is something they've lived through all these different roles. So even volunteering as a kennel assistant, for example, you can give you a perspective and a further understanding of that role so that you can know what that role is like and become a more empathetic, kinder leader when you are in your veterinary position. So sort of almost like starting from the bottom to the top, just understanding all of these roles. That's a great way to become a leader. Again, is just going volunteering, being in different parts of the veterinary world to seeing how it all works, going through these experiences as soon as you can, because the quicker you start, the more I think you can learn.
Yeah, I love that you touched on empathy. I think that's always so important. And I normally feel like wouldn't ask this type of question, even though because I asked you already what makes a good leader, but I was just wondering, like, just off the top of my head, is there something that you've learned through your experience so far that you've noticed that a leader shouldn't do? Like, you're like, nope, don't do that.
That is I feel like a whole other podcast, but definitely, gosh, now you're going to make me think through like my bad memory lane. I think sort of, you know, some things that I guess jump off my head are like being very reactive. So, you know, this is a stressful job, as you'll all find out. But very rewarding as well. But, you know, there are situations that are stressful. Things happen quickly sometimes. And I've seen vets blow up at their team members who are really just trying to help and, you know, deliver some bad news or whatever the case may be. And you know, blowing up in their face. That to me, so not being reactive is definitely one step. You know, learning to sort of sit back and see the situation maybe from a different perspective and trying to find a way to better the situation rather than, you know, complain or make the situation worse. I think being approachable is a very good skill as well. I've worked with mentors and leaders sometimes who I'm afraid to talk to, and I'm just learning out and I don't know how to handle a case, but they're not approachable. So I don't know how to handle the case. And then, you know, potentially the case is not getting the high quality medicine that it needs. So, you know, again, a leader needs to be open and, you know, welcoming, I would say, to all questions and concerns. That is part of your role as well, is to teach and, better the individuals around you. I think another big thing is, I think this speaks a lot to what we're talking about, but I've worked in environments that are not very positive. The team does not feel very positive. They're waiting to clock out. You know, they just want to get through the day rather than, you know, help these maybe not help the animals, but they just don't really want to be there, and you can feel that. So again, as a leader, you're responsible for that team culture, and you know, being aware of that is also just really important.
Yeah. So you were kind of saying that, you know, the approachability thing, which I think is a good point. Now, when somebody how do you gain confidence as a leader? Like, that's something that could be the hardest thing, I think, is to feel like the choices you're making or what you're saying is, you know, you're bringing that forward with confidence. How does that work for you?
Gaining confidence. Yeah. So, you know, I think there's probably a lot of anxiety about being a leader, and you know, I think you wouldn't be a good leader if you didn't feel a little bit anxious about taking on such a large role. I think that's normal. At least I hope that's normal, because I've definitely felt that, you know, at times in this role. For me, gaining confidence is going to be sort of a long-term learning experience. You know, the beauty of veterinary medicine is you're constantly learning medicine, you're learning surgery, you're always becoming a better, stronger veterinarian through your experience, through the cases that you see. I think leadership is very similar in that you're constantly in scenarios where you have to kind of make decisions and support staff members and make these sort of quick decisions. And that naturally builds up confidence, I think. You know, gaining confidence is going to work differently for different people. And for me, kind of just trying the role was a huge part for me. Just kind of diving into it and seeing kind of what happens. I was also very lucky that I have a very strong mentor that has helped me through a lot of it as well. So hopefully, you know, some of you, as you get into your leadership positions, you will have a mentor to help guide you as well, because that is great to always have that support, so you don't feel like you're completely alone in these situations.
Yeah, and so as a leader, who wants to promote positive team culture, obviously, where's the kind of line between, you know, the boundaries between being that excited, positive, supportive leader, but also having a sense of, I guess, authority or ensuring that things are done properly and stuff like that?
So it's a great question. Good culture and positive team culture involves accountability at its higher form. I think it's part of the culture of the workplace to embrace change. When you hold people accountable, it's a good thing. You know, having a good, positive work environment, work culture, it's not always about pizza parties and socialization. It's about putting up guards against all things that don't agree with your philosophy of good culture.
And so when it comes to making choices as a leader, how do you prioritize, you know, if you have a multiple dilemmas happening, mm-hmm. How do you prioritize kind of what to tackle first and stuff like that?
Yeah, that's also a really valuable lesson I've learned. I think obviously it of course depends on the dilemmas. The priority for me would be to determine if there's the most urgent dilemma that would be, you know, detrimental for the animal or the particular team member. So obviously if it's an emergency situation that needs addressing immediately, that is of course how I would put that as a preference. Usually that's not the case, and you just really need to weigh the risk benefit in the short and long term. I think something that I've really learned as well in my leadership position is actually delegation. I'm very lucky that I have a great support system at Bond. So, you know, if I'm faced with multiple dilemmas, it's good to say, can someone else help me take some of these cases off my plate so that we can address all these issues in a timely manner? That I think has been a very, very valuable. I don't have to take on everything. I can delegate in some situations and, again, ask for support if I'm not quite sure how to juggle it all.
And so how do you tend to, I guess, communicate with your team? Do you prefer like a weekly meeting or, you know, one-on-one? Like, how does that kind of happen at Bond?
Yeah, so a couple different ways, actually. We have a monthly meeting that we have with all of the team members. I have monthly one-on-ones with the doctors as well to sort of check in with them in an official way. And then we also do monthly breakfasts that again, I have with the doctors that I work with, and it's more of a casual kind of check-in. You know, communicating with my team, I also think is individually based. I like to get to know each team member of my team personally, and also sort of see what communications they respond to best. Like for me, I don't text my doctors. You know, I don't want to see that as, that's a bit too casual. I like to do an email for me. That's one way that I like to communicate with people, because to me, it's a bit of more If it's work related and it's not considered urgent, I think that's the most appropriate step. Like I said before, we do have daily morning huddles so that the team knows what's expected of each individual, and ending the day with evening huddles, especially as I mentioned before, if it's been a really stressful day. It's just a really good way to decompress. I don't want people going away feeling just burnt out about a certain situation. And I do like to, address potentially what might have gone wrong that day and what we could do to improve it. Something else that we really encourage also are our shout outs. That's something that we do at every team meeting that we do. We also try and do at the huddles, shouting out individuals so that they can be recognized in front of the whole team. To me, that's something that I think is really valuable to show how everyone supports each other.
Yeah, it sounds like for in terms of communication, like checking in seems to be very important for you to kind of maintain that positive team culture.
For sure. I mean, I need to know how everybody's feeling. You know, it's like I've said a lot, it is stressful. You know, there's a lot that goes on in a day-to-day basis, and I do really need to know how everybody's feeling so that I can maintain this environment that we've created. It's important to me for everyone to be as open and honest as they can so that we can, you know, give them the best work environment that we can.
I kind of want to ask you about social media, because a lot of, obviously, the young professionals are very into social media. That's how they communicate with each other. That's how they learn things. And I was just wondering, has that impacted your experience as a leader or in positive team culture in some way? Like, do you use it or do you not like using it?
I guess I wouldn't say I have personal experience with social media influencing my view on leadership or culture. I could definitely see, you know, if team members post cute photos of puppies at work or their team at a social event, it would attract other people in the business to want to be part of that team. You know, I think posting that kind of content can push us harder to go for roles that make us feel more supported.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And I guess for everybody, it's different as well in that situation. But like, how for sure. has your leadership role changed your career specifically so far?
I would say undoubtedly it has made me a stronger veterinarian. You know, as I've sort of said before, as a vet, you're always learning. That's the beauty of this job. You're constantly on a day-to-day day developing your surgery, medical skills. But again, it's a bonus to also constantly work on these leadership skills. It's just sort of this great other aspect that I am learning on a daily basis too. My experience as a leader has also helped me on a personal level. I feel if I can help calm down an angry client, I can calm down the two baby toddlers I have at home when they're having a tantrum. So it's definitely taught me, like I said, patience. That's one thing that goes with the role, and so much of the leadership skills that you learn on the workplace can translate into home life and personal life. And it's been a great role for me.
In terms of like how you feel, I guess, at work in a lot of ways, like how is maintaining, I guess, a good reputation with your team? How important is that? Is that something you consider at all?
Oh, I think it's one of the utmost importance, you know, in this world. I need my team to respect me as a leader as well as a veterinarian, but also be able to come to me for anything. To me, if a veterinarian develops a reputation among their staff where they're unapproachable, that would create tension and distance among the staff. So I never want anybody in this environment to have, you know, quote unquote, bad reputation. A good reputation to me shows so much of yourself as a leader, as a doctor, as a person, that again, your team can come to you for things, and they, again, respect your medicine, respect the way that you handle situations.
And like, how has your, experience with positive team culture and you in a leadership role just kind of being this supportive team member, how has that all those things impacted the animals? Like how have you seen a change in terms of medicine? Like, has it been connected in some way?
Oh, definitely. I think, you know, again, coming into work, wanting to be there, wanting to help the animals is sort of like step one. You're happy to be there in the first place. And then to be among a group of people that also want to be there. You know, I've found, I've built a lot of confidence within myself because of the team members around me. And that has translated to offering the best medicine for my patients. To have like a flow that you can just walk into a room and, you know, your technicians is already setting up the x-ray that you want to do for your vomiting dog, and they're already getting the fluids out to offer to this patient. You know, the fact that you just get into this great groove when you work in this great environment, because you just all know each other, you just vibe well. You know, it's just this great feeling that you're practicing this quality medicine together. You're offering the best services you can for your clients, for your patients, and everybody's happy to do it.
Yeah. And I have, before I move on to my next question, I have kind of a random one that I'm just thinking of right now. What is like the most fun part about being a leader? Like, what is exciting?
So I do think the fun things are like planning the social events. that is really fun. We're doing like a game night next week, and each doctor is we've asked to make a certain drink, and then everyone has to judge the best drink. So that's been really fun, just creating social events for each other. We did axe throwing last year, which was so fun. So that's sort of cool to be in charge of, or partly in charge of, the social events, and what I think would I have to convince leadership to support for us to all come together as a team. I think on a more sort of veterinary medicine level, being a good leader, a fun thing about being a good leader is sort of setting, I get to set the tone of the hospital, which is great. So again, you know, so much of your mood as a leader translates into the hospital. So it's really nice to be able to set that tone and, you know, expect the doctors that I work with to follow that same style, and for us to work together to, again, create this environment that people can just relate to and feel really comfortable in.
And how has COVID-19 really kind of influenced the whole team aspect, the culture? Is there more anxiety? Is it like more, obviously it must be stricter in some ways. Like what kind of happens with that?
Yeah, I think that's a bit mixed. In the beginning of COVID, we worked in really small teams. We called it like a skeleton crew. So they were sort of three of us working a full day together. And you stuck with that same team, you know, for about 3 to 4 months. So that actually that bonded us really strongly. We were seeing a lot of cases on a daily basis. And again, it really bonded us with this shared experience and sort of this new reality of COVID, since we really didn't know what was going to come of it. I also noticed a lot of team members really stepped up in their positions, and they sort of adopted their own leadership role, which was so great to see. You know, people who, you know, didn't know that they really wanted to be leaders, was forced to step up in this role, and they really liked it. And that is something that, you know, excelled them to be in higher positions. There is definitely that area of anxiety. You know, we're essential workers. We are essential workers in all of this. And, you know, we still came in every day that we were scheduled to see our patients and be there for our community, which was great. But there was a lot of anxiety that came from it too. And I think that we definitely navigated that as a group, and we have been extremely lucky in that sense as well. It also has changed the way that we normally, you know, the appointment flow that we have in our hospital as well. In the past, we would let people come inside. Obviously, they would come inside with their animals. We'd all be in a room together examining the pet. And it was very much a shared experience with the client and the animal together. And the client was very involved with the care of their pets, because they could see what was going on. We did blood work in front of them. And obviously that has changed since COVID. So, you know, trying to create the client experience that is still comfortable for them has definitely been a challenge. You know, we were in new clinics, and gaining their trust during COVID was a challenge too, but they've really embraced it as well in other aspects. So COVID with our team has definitely, it's been mixed. Great bonding experience for many of us, and then also some obstacles that we had to face together.
Can you tell the story, I guess, or whatever it was like for you, the day that you, you know, started your leadership, the day you started your leadership position, like, what was that like?
My stomach was in knots. I don't think I slept the night before. It was so exhilarating and so amazing. And the first time I stepped into my role was also the first day we opened our hospital in Chelsea. And I remember the very, very first client that we had in Chelsea just would not allow us to take his pet inside without him coming inside. And no matter how many times we explained to him that, you know, with COVID, we can't let you inside right now, he just would not let us take him, the pet, inside, and created such a scene and such a almost disastrous first client for our whole team. My first client to deal with that wasn't even a client, because he never came inside. We never actually saw his pet, but he wanted nothing to do with us after that. He lost all trust in us, and it was, I laugh because it was just so awful. It was just, again, my first role as a leader was this angry client who would not let us touch his poor sick cat because he wouldn't be allowed inside. And I always remember that first day because I was so excited, so nervous, so ready and pumped to just get in there and just open the doors and embrace all of the clients of Chelsea. And he was not the best first client that we could have had for us. Of course, he wasn't wearing a mask, and that was terrifying. There were so many aspects to the conversation we had with him that just did not go as I had expected on our first day. But again, a great learning experience for me, for the team. Really, really helpful to learn about client communication.
Well, yeah, thank you so much for taking the time to share your experiences and advice with us and our listeners. And we want to kind of end the podcast. We end every single podcast with like a little Q&A, just all about you. So
okay.
My first question, it's just really short questions. The first one is, what is your ultimate career goal like so far?
Oof, I wish I knew the answer to that. I don't know yet. That is a great question. I'm figuring that out every day. I don't know. I am loving the role that I'm in right now. You know, I'm also a full-time mom, a full-time vet. So right now the balance is working for me. I don't want to take anything else on too much right now. But I don't know. The excitement of veterinary medicine is that there's always a new role to be open. So I'm open to learning what that might be in the future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I feel like a lot of people say that, which is, it's good to be open.
Okay, that's good to hear.
Yeah. Do you have some sort of like quote or philosophy that you live by that helps you?
My mom always had a great quote for me, and she would say, sometimes the bear eats you and sometimes you eat the bear. And I think that is a good way sometimes to deal with the day. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose, and it's okay. And that's, being okay with that is also something that I learn.
Yeah, it's kind of liberating. Also, the animal aspect. So
exactly, that's true.
And who inspires you to continue to make a change within the industry and to just be a better leader?
It's such a, I just feel like there's actually so much inspiration in my life, which is great. Definitely my kids, and my son wants to be, he wants to be a dinosaur and a animal doctor right now. So we're trying to figure out how to balance all of that out, but he is obsessed with animals right now. He always wants to come to work with me. So, he's part of my inspiration for sure, to continue being a good doctor so that I can be a good role model for him. You know, I really do have to say that my my mentor is a great role model for me as well. She really pushes me to do a lot of things beyond my comfort zone that I don't think I would have done years before. And something that I think I've also learned in this role is to take criticism, especially from someone that you trust really well, because they're only trying to help you become a better leader, a better veterinarian. So sort of letting down my guard and accepting criticism to help me grow as, you know, a person essentially has been really valuable for me. So I just have a really great mentor, and I think I hope that all the veterinarians out there as well can, future veterinarians can find that mentor, because that is such a huge part of developing yourself as a leader.
Yeah, for sure. We did a podcast on mentorship. I think it was our first one, and I definitely feel like it's huge. Where can people find you? Like email, social media, website, anything like that?
Social media might bore everybody because it's just a bunch of my kids, but they're very cute. But I am on social media. I'm on Facebook. I am on Instagram. My sister made my Instagram account for me when I graduated from vet school 9 years ago. And it's Doc McGlock is my Instagram name. So please feel free to follow me. I think I'm going to have to post a lot more animal pictures now, though. But you can always, I'm happy to answer questions. I can provide my email if it's helpful for Sarah, and you can post it somewhere for everybody. But it's just simone@bondvet.com. And I'm happy to answer any questions you have. If you have a situation that you need help with, if I'm happy to help. If you don't have a mentor yet, I can be a pseudo mentor at times if you need a hand or a virtual shoulder to cry on. I also, as an exit wording, I would say, you know, support each other a lot. This is a great career, but it's a tough business. It's a tough industry at times. And, I encourage you to support each other. I still am extremely close with my veterinary student friends, and we talk on a daily basis. I've called them many times with concerns and guidance and just help. And so I encourage you to, you know, rely on each other, use your fellow veterinarian students, create a group together, a support group that you can help each other through some of these difficult situations. Again, if you don't have a mentor that you can rely on enough, I would rely on each other, because you all have different experiences and can really help each other out in ways that you probably don't even realize. So definitely encourage each other to encourage to help each other.
Well, thank you so much again, Dr. McLaughlin. We really appreciate you being with us. And a big thank you to our Next Pod listeners. Remember, you are the future. Join us next month for another in-depth talk.